Hello and welcome to Only Fans on the Perfect Hat-Trick Podcast. I'm your host, Taron, or as I say, a very, very happy Taron. Today on the podcast, I'll be talking mainly about England versus Germany. And it is very, very heartbreaking. I could have got an England fan on the podcast today. But you know, it's German football expert Arvin Badewell back on the podcast today. And I know he is seething right now, but I'm absolutely elated with that win. Every time I watch it back, absolutely ecstatic. Yeah, like I said, today we'll be breaking down that game, specifically talking all things England vs Germany, Sweden, Ukraine. Quick facts on that game. Sweden lost 2-1 to Ukraine after extra time. 120th minute from Ukraine sends them through to play England in the quarterfinals of the Euros. But I think we should start at Wembley, where England beat the old rivals Germany 2-0.
He can't get back to his feet. England press regardless with Shaw. And now Grealish. Grealish in! In comes the captain! 2-0 England! Harry Kane's championship has begun!
So yeah, let's start breaking down this game, Arvin. I don't think I want to ask you how you're feeling, because I think the listeners can hear you. You should be laughing and you could hear some breathing, but you're just really, really upset. But let's start with... the script is just hilarious. England 2-8 Germany, if Flick was manager. This is not Pochettino's first, but I think let's start by talking about Germany's tactics. I think let's talk a little bit about Germany, I'd say, and then we can get on to all the England shenanigans. I think a big talking point was Timo Werner starting up front for Germany today. You know, you have Gnabry, you have Sané, all the other players. What I thought was it's going to be, you know, Werner knows how to get past these English defenders like your Maguires, your Walkers, your Stones. He's done it in the CL final in the Premier League. So I think that was the factor. I mean, do you agree with that? And what did you think about Werner starting for Germany today?
I said in a group chat before, I said, Gnabry hasn't really been good either. So I thought, okay, Timo Werner, he starts. Yeah, I was angry at the time. But to be honest, if I look back on it now, it's just there's not really another attacker that I could have thought that would have probably changed the game. I need all of them apart from Havertz are probably average at best. Musiala was probably the only one that I thought would come in and do his thing. I was calling for him to start, but it's just terrible, honestly, man. All of these Müller. That's just sucked the life out of me, because for 75 minutes England did nothing. Maybe they had one Maguire chance here. The rest of them, Germany, they played their game. They played it to an okay standard. They weren't out of this world. They weren't terrible either. But all these players, Ginter, I'm sorry, to crap, absolute disgusting. I do not want to see this guy ever again in the Germany shirt. I don't want to see him again. The amount of times they were going down his side, especially in the 75th minute, he gave so many balls away. He was just terrible. He was honestly, I don't like slaying players, but I don't want to see that type of performance ever again. The three at the back system, again, I have to say, it works for a manager that knows how to play that system. If he doesn't, don't stick with it, because it just doesn't work. And I feel like after the Portugal game, I was like, okay, maybe this will actually work. But the Hungary game, again, realised it just didn't work. And Löw doesn't really have a system, a proper base system to beat down, you know, England's 100-man defence. Literally, it's just a crap poor. But I can't believe I saw that.
Yeah, that chance, especially from Werner. I mean, to go back to the original question, if he scored that 1-0 against England, it's a different game. And that could have potentially been a German win. But now we look back at it and it is a 2-0 England kind of win. If that was, I mean, Müller did miss an absolute sitter. But if that was Sané, I would have backed him in that situation. If that was Gnabry, I would have backed him. But, you know, that is the kind of bad thing about playing Timo Werner. Yes, he'll create the spaces. Yes, he'll do a lot for the team. But when it comes to them big, big vital moments, he won't get the goal. And I'm worried for next season as a fan. But you know, you mentioned a bit about the system. I want to talk more about this from England, but we'll get to this a little bit later. Let's talk about Germany a teeny bit more. Germany's current system. You think about for Hansi Flick, he probably will go back to a 4-2-3-1. But this team on paper, it looks like the perfect team. You think about Rudiger playing the left centre back role. I'm going to do this very, very quickly. Hummels in the sweeper role. Ginter, you know, let's not talk about James Wright. Manuel Neuer in goal. Goretzka and Kroos in the midfield. And you have Gosens. It looks like such a good team on paper. What kind of went wrong in the system, do you think, Arvin?
There wasn't really much that went wrong in the system, I believe. If I could pin it down to one thing, I think it'll be definitely the defence and taking our chances, especially in the attack. Again, as I said, as Löw always knows how to play with number nine, and the thing is, if you try and take that away from Germany, it just doesn't work, especially with the way he plays. He always needs a vocal point up there, which I think we just didn't have. We haven't had for the last... Germany as a whole, as a country, hasn't really had that real number nine for a long time, since Miroslav Klose, I think. So, you know, Thomas Müller being there, he's not really a real number nine. We saw that with his bloody chance today. I mean, it's terrible. Kai Havertz is really the only person that really stepped up. Kimmich, he was fine to me today, putting a lot of crosses. Gosens were missing again. I do not expect him to start under Hansi Flick. Rilla Baku, I expect him to come in. I expect Kimmich and Goretzka to be in that double pivot. And Gundogan and Kroos have... there's been rumours that apparently they are going to...
retire.
Well, they are going to decide on their international future after, because he knows that Hansi Flick will play that double pivot. So, yeah, it's just... System-wise, we just... Again, it kind of reminded me, I think you watched this game as well, Bayern-Liverpool, where Bayern were just so narrow. They really didn't create anything. Where there was times where I just thought to myself, well, Germany looks so open in the defence. And we were never at any point really piling men forward, like literally nothing. It was always either Kai Havertz. We didn't manage to carve out chances anyway, but it was just... Kai Havertz or Timo Werner just up front. I didn't see that many attackers at that point. I didn't see us piling men forward, Goretzka making those deep runs. I didn't see any of that. And then when England went forward, the defence was just wide open. Ginter's side was just... Oh, I don't want to swear, but it's just awful. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, we can't make this explicit. We'll have to lose money on that. So, you know, the amount of... billions of amounts of money they're making right now. Going to have to cut that down a little bit. So, let's relax on that. I mean, yeah, the system definitely doesn't work, and... I want to get to England. I think you can probably rant about Germany all day, but we can do another episode in that, another day maybe. But we could talk about Germany more, but like I said, I want to get into this England massive performance today. I'll start with the system, I think. Like I said before, the system, they switched to a three at the back, and it's not like it's a random kind of formation change. It is a system that they won. They reached the semi-finals of the World Cup in, and they played it a few times in the qualifying round, so... Yeah, Trippier is very comfortable in their role with the back three. Maybe not Luke Shaw, but Declan Rice and Phillips, I'm sure, have fitted that position. And yeah, what did you think about the system change for England as a whole in the game and before the game?
Well, I think obviously England's system change was, I think most people predicted it due to obviously Germany's attack. Even when they did have that on, I believe that, you know, Germany still created chances. They still carved out opportunities. So I don't think today's performance was the best England performance, but that's embarrassing, to be honest, because England didn't even play their best and they still won against us. So I think, yeah, it's just England as a whole, obviously the defensive unit. Rice was very good in the midfield today. He won a lot of, you know, second balls. He dealt with, you know, Kroos very well. He didn't give him too much space either. Calvin Phillips was there, you know, just as a runner, to be honest. To cover the spaces that Trippier and Shaw left. And Shaw in that second half was brilliant as well. You know, the way they linked up Grealish, obviously, when he came on, he was just immense. He was so good. You know, linking up with Shaw on that left-hand side, he got, you know, he played a vital part in the first goal and got the assist for the second. So, yeah, England as a whole... very, very average game at best, but then, you know, they got their goals, they got through, and in the end, it's just about who takes their chance, really, and England did that for me.
Yeah, and they did it in the end, and the system, I don't think it was down to it. The game, I say the main thing about that system was to match Germany, kind of, I don't know how to explain it. You know when you play up against a system that they're not as comfortable in playing as, and you can kind of outwit them in them particular runs and kind of positions? That's what England did. And, you know, that was a Gareth Southgate masterclass. I don't know, I can't believe I'm saying that. But, you know, you mentioned some of the performers. You mentioned Declan Rice. We'll talk about him now. What performance from this guy that I've been gassing up since all the glory days, personally. I've been talking about him since the Chelsea Academy days. And I know he's a special player. And maybe he's not the next John Terry. He's just the next... next Fabio Cannavaro. Next Zinedine Zidane or something. Or what CDMs are there? Amazing, amazing CDMs. Makaleli, I can think of. Yeah. DMs, Ruud Gullit. Okay, there we go. Ruud Gullit. He's the next Ruud Gullit, and you said it here. So he's the next Ruud Gullit, and What performance today against Goretzka. I know you were very excited about Goretzka playing and being back in the team today, but against Declan Rice, it was difficult, right?
Well, I mean, Goretzka, he wasn't actually too bad in the midfield, especially in the first half. I feel like in the first half, he was making a bit more runs. I think you saw that tackle that Declan Rice made on him. Me personally, I don't know, that could have been very 50-50 between being a red card and being a yellow card, because Goretzka looked like he was in. Declan Rice just took him out, and you know, fair enough, was a yellow card. But yeah, I'm not too sure about that one. Yeah, Goretzka had a bit more hold of the midfield in comparison to the second half. But yeah, it's just, I mean, you can clearly hear by my voice, I'm done, man. I'm just finished, absolutely gone, dusted. Need to go back into hiding. I was watching Love Island tomorrow night, and you can't sink any lower than that. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a massive L. Watching instead of the Euros, that's... Yeah, I mean, that's a massive, massive... Yeah. You're only fans. We could change this to the Love Island podcast. We could do another series if you want. I don't mind. But I know you didn't mention much about Declan Rice there. But I'll talk about Declan Rice. I'm not going to lie. This game, I was really, really excited. And I didn't really watch it much. But, you know, what I saw from Rice was very, very matured captain's almost performance in the middle. And entering, what you love to see in this formation is a guy who will take control, you know, receive the ball from the deep and still drive and control it like a metronome. And he did that today. So, I mean, fair play. And Jack Grealish today. I mean, I want to talk about him. When he came on, the first goal, he... Did he get an assist with the first... No, he was driving forward.
To Luke Shaw. Yeah.
And the second goal, he actually got the assist for it. So, it makes me think, why the hell isn't this guy starting every single game? Amazing, amazing. I mean, you watch Grealish today. I know you were very impressed by him. And you can admit he's a very good talent. He should be starting the rest of the games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... I'm not sure about Sarri. Maybe that was Gareth Southgate's plan from the start. I think, you know, especially starting Bukayo Saka, it's almost good in a way because they didn't concede up to that point. And when they know that they need something, they've always got something to bring off the bench. Whereas, obviously, if you look at Germany's bench, you'd see Leroy Sané, who just hasn't been on it this year, though. So to bring someone like Jack Grealish on, or you can bring Jadon Sancho on, who was it, you know, Foden, Mason Mount. You know, you're sat with quality, and there's always an option to be off the bench whether England are struggling or not. And, you know, maybe that was Southgate's plan, you know, to play that defensive, to have that defensive mindset, and, you know, to be able to bring players off, maybe like Bukayo Saka in the 60th, 70th minute when you knew he might be getting gassed out. Or, yeah, no, it's just, yeah, Southgate, you know, he did well today, bringing, you know, maybe keeping them fresh legs on the bench.
I think... Before the game, I was probably thinking, why the hell are you starting Saka? Yes, he had a good game, but you have Sancho, Grealish, Mount. I probably wouldn't have started Mount, you know, as much as a deluded lad I am. I wouldn't have started Mount. But I understand it. You know, get him to run at James Wright, a right centre-back, and just drive at him trying to create something. And it got us two goals. I saw a really interesting segment of Sky Sports News HQ with Kaveh Solokull saying, Grealish, maybe, this first 11 may not get the win, but the guys on the bench... they could potentially get the win. I know that sounds like some BTEC kind of statement, but if you think about it, the first 11 on the pitch can get you in a good position for 75 minutes, pressing, causing the other team to tire. Then the last 15 minutes, you can bring on these other players, and I that really blew my mind. Fair enough, Kaveh. I know you're listening to this. Big up. Now, I bloody wish. But you know, the Sterling goal, I think that is a big talking point as well. Oh, I love Raheem Sterling. I really do. I've always been a simp for Sterling. I don't know why people hate this guy. Maybe he's not your baller who people really like to ball and watch him skill and drive and turn and, you know, Sancho basically, or Grealish. But he gets in the goal scoring positions from the wing. He does so much for the team, and I don't understand the criticism. But, you know, Arvin, what are your opinions on Sterling? I know you don't probably think the same as me completely, but are you still in the same thing as thinking, what does he actually do? Or do you understand that he is really crucial for most teams?
No, I knew. And actually, no, you can't actually say that about Sterling, because when we did the Euros lineups and what we thought the starting 11 should be, you actually picked Grealish and Sancho. I said Rashford and Sterling. I said Rashford and Sterling because I knew that this team is not going to be about the personnel and who's had a good season or not. I knew that Trippier was going to come back in. I knew that Sterling was going to come back in because these are the players Southgate trusts, and maybe not Phillips and Rice, yeah, but, you know, in the system they work. So, yeah, I knew Maguire was going to start, Stones was going to start, regardless of whether they had a good or bad season. There's always certain players that step up for country, and that's, you know, for example, Kieran Trippier, Sterling. Pep Guardiola hasn't shown the most trust in Raheem Sterling, and that's probably why people got onto him, especially in the final as well. He had an awful game. But actually, he didn't have an awful game. I feel like he was better than some players in that final. But I feel like that's why, you know, people thought, okay, maybe it was done because it was maybe Phil Foden's time or someone else's time. But, you know, Sterling, Southgate for England, you know, he trusts these players. Not like Yogi Love, who just took loads of Bayern players and hoped for the best, really. It's just not what it works like. So, yeah. No, Southgate, you know, the way he trusts in these players, it's good to have that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned good points about Sterling there. We'll talk about these in a further episode, I think, you know, the review of the Euros. But I think we've talked enough about England as well. We've talked about some, you know, the system, the key players. We'll get into the... Is that my dog snoring? My God, he even knows it's coming home. But let's kind of talk about talking about Germany before we move on. I'll personally say it's not looking good for the future. Hansi Flick will come in. He'll try his best, but you're losing Kruse, Müller. And I don't know personally. I'm not going to make any big statements, but like you said, I mean, the Sterling situation was 3-4 months ago, so you can allow me on that one. But my question for you is, where did Germany go from here? Are you just thinking Hansi Flick's going to be roses and peaches and just going to make everything bright, or are you, you know, a little bit kind of, you know, scared?
I'm not scared at all, to be honest. I know what Hansi Flick does. I know the qualities that he brings. I know the people he trusts. And sort of to go and say Southgate as well, because I feel like at times there was moments where Jogi Löw, he just put the players, like, for example, Kai Havertz and Timo Werner out there, or Serge Gnabry, just because of the names, not because of who performed well. If he had maybe done it for, you know, the trust or for something like that, he would have maybe started. It's complicated. But I know Hansi Flick, the qualities that he brings, for example, he knows to trust Goretzka and Kimmich. He knows that Germany have always stuck with a 4-2-3-1, and to change it now would have been a bit weird, because we only started playing the 3-4-3 about two games before the Euros, which was a bit of a weird one. And obviously against France, we were just awful. Against Portugal, yeah, it worked, but that's only because Portugal gave us tons of space. And against Hungary, you know, we were just nullified to the core, and especially with low blocks, Hansi Flick has a clear strategy, whereas I feel like Jogi Löw with the system, he never really had a clear strategy of what we were going to do when we come up against these low block teams, like, for example, cross the ball or something like that. So where do Germany go from here? Well, our players won the under-21 Euro, so I think our future is settled enough. You know, Mecha, Riddler, Baku, Florian Wirtz, all these players I expect to come in and do well for us. But regardless of whether they come in, I still expect, you know, Hansi Flick to have the utmost trust in players like Kai Havertz, Müller, Werner, because he is someone that is a very good, well, coach to player. You know, he has very good coach to player management. And that is shown by, I think, obviously, when we had Marius Fischer on the podcast, he said that he was more of a man-to-man coach rather than, you know, a press coach or someone that looks good in front of the press, more of an introvert. He likes just coaching the players, and maybe the Germany job will be really good for that. So, yeah, Germany, I expect to, well, from now, I'm still depressed, but hopefully in 2 years, well, in 1 year, actually, in the World Cup, we'll see some good performances.
I think we're blessed that you have a very good youth academy. At least you're not like Croatia. You just are complete done. You're like Florian Wirtz, Kai Havertz, who's still 22. Riddler, Baku, Florian Neuhaus, who's still quite young. Kimmich, who's not even old. So, yeah, I think you're lucky. But I'm just going to reminisce back to the Marius Fischer days and try and do my intro. Hey guys, welcome back to the Perfect Hat-Trick Podcast. I'm your fan. Today I'm joined by Marius Fischer. Do you remember when we were doing all the preparations for that? We were literally like learning German and stuff on Google Translate. It's quite embarrassing, personally. And then he came on the pod and we just asked him about Schalke 04. If you're listening to this, Marius, very sorry for what we put you through. That was a shambolic hosting of a podcast. But, you know, we've talked about Germany and it is sad. I mean, it is very, very sad. I can tell you're dejected. But this is revenge for Chelsea Bayern back in 2020.
Yeah, so it looks like all my luck's run out from 2020. I mean, when Bayern won that Champions League, and now it's just, this year has been disgusting. I mean, players getting injured for Bayern, then we lose against PSG because we have half of our players out. And now this disgusting shambles of a Euros. Oh, it's not been a good season for me. Maybe in the first half, yeah, the second half, just disgusting. Oh, I expect Julian Nagelsmann to just, play Lewandowski at right wing back and maybe try and do something. I'm joking, but he is a mastermind, and I expect him to do good things.
I think only you would generally bring up Julian Nagelsmann in the German Euros podcast. I don't even know how you've brought him into this. But, the last question, I don't even need to ask you this because I know what your answer is. Is it coming home?
No.
A sheep's white. A sheep's white. Do they have wool? Do
No,
they
well.
at
Well, I mean,
least.
I know that England certainly don't have wool compared to someone like Italy, or a team like Italy. I know, I don't know. I just can't support England after this. Even though I live in this
It's
country,
coming home. It is.
I'm sorry to
It is
everyone. I'm
coming
sorry to
home.
everyone. But you know what? I'm gonna support Nechal, and Switzerland. They speak German as well. I'm gonna support Switzerland. And no, they will win against Spain. They'll win the whole thing. Denmark as well for Christian Eriksen. I hope they do it. Hope they beat England. They probably will. Mailer scores a hat trick or something like that. Hopefully that happens.
It's surprising because barely any English listeners actually listen to this kind of series, but I'm sure the ones who are, RCB and you are hoping. No, he'll be gassed. I mention him. You are definitely rooting for England. Ameya, you're voting for England. A lot of these guys are voting for England. But I will say, I don't need your input in this one, German football expert. I will say it is coming home. We will play Czech Republic or Denmark. Denmark are good, but they're not a Euros winning team. We can beat them. Just about the final, if we can beat Italy or Denmark, who I definitely think will reach there. It's just about that. And apart from that, if we can get through that, play the Gareth Southgate low block with Raheem Sterling, then throw in Grealish and Sancho in the last few minutes. Football is coming home. Get the champagne, get the party poppers, get the sex toys, get the not sex toys, get
Oh
the
my God.
everything out. Get S Astrid Wett is going to make a very exciting video for England. It is officially coming home after today. Unless Southgate has a stinker, which 90% chance he will, we are winning the Euros. No, clip this all you want, I don't care. Oh, what are you
Remember
gonna
what I
do?
said about Hansi Flick, and if he had been here today, then sort of in a very different game, I can say that, as you saw in the script.
Exactly, but it's now, innit? It's not the future, it's right now,
Is the
so.
future. You always have to look in the future. You can never look in the present. This film
So the
of sat
question on this particular script is it
pain.
coming home now? And you're talking about Hansi Flick as the next manager of Germany. Are you mad? This year it is coming home, there's no doubt. If not, if buts or
No,
maybes.
it is not possible for you as a fan to win both the Champions League in the same season and Euros. That is just not happening. If that happens, honestly, I will have to win the World Cup and the Champions League in the same year to at least fill my at least just to compensate for what you've done this year.
I'm gonna get blessed. The day after we win the Euros, I'm gonna get blessed some bad luck or something. Okay, guys, I have failed my driving test, so at least something needs to make me feel a bit better. Something was bound to happen back in the middle. So, this is worth it. But it is coming home. I don't know how long we've been speaking for, but it's just been a flowy kind of Zach Flowy podcast. But everything's all good in love and war, and Germany are out. England through playing against, I know who it is this time, is Czech. Oh shit.
Oh my God. Oh my. They literally scored a 120th minute winner and you still didn't get
It's because I can't see my Euros planner. It's too dark for my TV.
the
Don't worry, I know it's
team.
Ukraine. Oh my God, we're playing Ukraine in the quarters. It's going to be vibes, but we will win that game, trust me. But anyways, guys, I'm going to wrap this up now. Time to go to bed. 11:15 UK time. I have to get the bus after I fail my driving test. So good night, guys. Have a good sleep. We'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow UK time. I've always said that. Have a great day. Take care.